A few announcements before we start. In 2 weeks, we are going to have Nick. You saw the video with Life Without Limbs. I want to encourage as many of you as possible in this service to go to the 8 o'clock or the 12 o'clock service because, you know, we're just about at capacity. We want to make room for especially our visitors that come. Some of y'all are up anyway in the morning. Amen. Anybody up early? They come at 8 o'clock? How many of y'all are up? Okay. So you're just sitting home waiting for 10 o'clock to come. So if you can come and give as an act of service, give your seat up and come to an earlier service or the 12 o'clock service, and then we can make more room for the people, especially who come for the first time, they come at 10 o'clock. It'd be great, especially on that day. We will have a lot of visitors on that day, so we're going to need to open up space, and we have seats in other services. And so we want to have as few people out locked out as possible so we could spread people around. And then make 8 o'clock or 12 o'clock your regular service because this service is at capacity and we appreciate it. The other thing is that we are Do Something Church. We have people volunteering all the time. Last year we gave over just about 228,000 hours to the mayor of volunteer service in the community. This Saturday we're going to have a celebration. I know you were told about that, but we appreciate you coming so we could say thank you to you. And also, we are taking sign-ups for people to volunteer on Sunday, hospitality, parking. So if you want to volunteer on Sundays, go out in the lobby. We have people out there signing up. And lastly, in 2 weeks, we are going on television on Channel 6. You were told that. Amen. We're very excited about that. And let us explain to you the philosophy. You know, even though it's on Sunday, we're going on at 11 o'clock at night. We're not trying to replace people's church experience in the morning. We want to get to the people at night who are not church people, who are coming home drunk or whatever, or getting ready to go to college the next school or work the next day. And so we're going to be on 11 o'clock at night. It is obviously definitely not a replacement for church for you either. But we do want you to tell your friends, your family, or whoever who's sitting home and tell them to TiVo it, DVR it, whatever they do and watch it, but we want to get the word to them. And so it's going to be on CW Channel 6 on 2 weeks from today at 11 o'clock at night, and we'll get the email out to all of you and get information, but we want to get the word out, the gospel to San Diego. And obviously we're online right now all around the world, which is really very exciting because people around the world are chatting back and forth and communicating to us. We had an email from in first service from a young lady in Chile who said she was feeling empty and you know not having a good day and good year for her, and she emailed us to tell us the Lord really blessed her today, and she was in Chile. So people online are Facebook and chatting all day back and forth from around the world right now as they're watching the services. So it's very exciting. There's people right now from 44 states and about 9 countries, as I was told 5 minutes ago. So we want to say hello to all those people, and it's really amazing. Amen. And we can't encourage all of you enough to send out the link to our website, to all your friends, all your social network. Get the word out. They can watch this series about who is God and everything we're doing online, the whole service from the first song through the altar call, and it's high definition if they have that. If it's high definition, as long as they can get high definition, and it's amazing. So it's a blessing to have. So take advantage of that and send it out to your friends. My mom, I'm sure, is watching again for the 33rd straight service. So how you doing, Mom? Whatever it is. So let's see your Bibles today. See your Bible. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. And whenever you think of Exodus, you want to think of Moses delivering the Jews from Egypt, exit out of Egypt. Anytime you see an exit sign on a doorway, think of Exodus, exit out of Egypt. Let me pray for you. Second book of the Bible, third chapter. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, and we pray you bless us today, and may we be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was on a plane one day talking to a guy about God and heaven, hell, etc., and I started asking him what he believed. I said, tell me about your God. Tell me about your relationship with God. He says, well, you know, I don't believe there's one God. I believe there's, you know, we all have our own concept of God, and it's really the goodness in you and the light that we all have in us. And I believe that we should treat each other with respect, treat each other as though we want to be treated, the golden rule, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he was just going on telling me about this stuff. I said, what happens when you die? He says, well, you know, I don't believe in heaven and hell, but if there is a heaven and hell, I believe that if we treat people right, we'll all go to heaven, and God, you know, he knows our heart. He's a God of love. And so I believe that, you know, he loves us all. So if he knows that we're trying to do the best we can, he won't send us to hell. So he was telling me all these beliefs. And I said to him, you know, if I want to learn about your God, I want to learn about what you believe and all the stuff you're telling me, where can I go to read this stuff? Because I want to learn. I want to know more about your belief system. And he says, well, it's not really written down anywhere. It's just what I believe. And I said, so basically you made all that up. You know, a lot of times we make up stuff about God. Sometimes some of it's true. But you also have to always understand that the best lies have a lot of truth in them. Okay? The best lies have a lot of truth in them. So you want to be careful when it comes to God, what you trust your eternity with. You don't want to be guessing about that. You know, and whether you believe in God a little bit or a lot or none, guaranteed there's going to come a day in your life when you're going to cry out to God. You're going to want to know when you die, if you have an opportunity before you die, where am I going? I was watching this show called Dynasty a long time ago. Dynasty. Y'all remember that show? Y'all remember the show? Okay. If you don't remember the show, it was long, 20-something years ago. It was like a nighttime soap opera type thing. It was just, you know, in Texas or whatever. And it was just you know, big rich people and just doing that with what those particular people did. Not what rich people do, but those particular people. And this one lady was sleeping with another guy. They were committing adultery, cheating on each other. And the guy has a heart attack. In the bed, he's having a heart attack. And here they are committing adultery, and the first thing they do is, oh, God. God's like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I mean, y'all are on your own, okay? So my point is this. No matter how you live, what you believe, there's going to come a day where you cry out to God, and it's very important, muy importante, to understand who God is, what he expects of you, how you can have a relationship with him, how to have a good relationship with him. And what he's like. So we're going to start a 5-week series today called Who is God? And today, specifically, I'm going to talk about 6 characteristics of the God that I'm going to talk about. Because we all have a different concept of God. Some of your gods are what you own. Some of your gods is your money, your hair, your body, your personality. You worship all kinds of things. And by the way, you may never consciously say, that is my God. But by how you treat it and how the respect you give it and how you rely on it, you are by default saying, that's my idol. So I want to be clear about the God I'm talking about. Now, the God I'm talking about is found in the Bible. And I'm going to propose to you that the evidence that we're going to show over the next 6 weeks, is going to prove that the real God is the God of the Bible. And again, the evidence is going to speak for itself. You could deny it or accept it. And so we're going to present that to you. But today I'm just going to talk about 6 characteristics of when I say God, what I'm talking about. Because it's very important for us to understand who, when we say God, what we're talking about. So let's look at chapter 3 of Exodus. In this story, chapter 3 of verse Exodus, Moses is walking around and he sees a burning bush. Everyone say burning bush. And the bush is on fire, but the bush is not being consumed. In other words, fire is burning, the bush is inside the fire, but the bush is not crumbling. He's like, I don't get this. So he goes, hark, let me go see yonder what is over there, something like that. And the bush starts talking to him, which is one miracle, and then the other miracle is that he talks back to the bush. They have this long conversation, and I'm only going to focus on one part of the conversation because in verse 10, God out of the bush says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses says to God, who am I that I should to go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now, this is the first time God reveals his name, and there's a lot in a name. Matter of fact, the names in the Bible have meanings. Okay, my name has no meaning. It's just a distance. Some of y'all are getting that. And I've heard all the, you know, kilometer jokes. Oh, if you lived in, you know, UK, they call you kilometers. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I've heard a joke like a jillion times, and people laugh as though it's original. Moses says, God, what is your name? And your name is going to tell us a lot about your character and who you are. And look what God says. This is the coolest name. Of course, God has the best of everything. Can I get amen? Okay, so he has the best name. Look what it says. It says in verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's my name. I am who I am. He says, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am. Everyone say, I am.
I am.
That's a name. It's a statement. Here's what it means, Jehovah God. I always was, I am, and I always will be. Let me say it again. I am who I am means I always was. I didn't have a beginning. I am now, and I will never have an end. Someone say, hallelujah. Now, that you and I have had beginnings. Okay, we exist within time. God exists without time, outside of time. How does that work? I have no idea. I don't know. So God, as a matter of fact, number one in your notes, the God we're talking about is self-existent. Self-existent. He's eternal. He had no beginning. No one began him. He eternally existed in the past. And you can't, he eternally existed, had no beginning. He exists now completely, and he will always exist. Nothing can take or add away. If you tell him he's good, it doesn't make him any better. If you tell him he's bad, it doesn't make him any worse. He's self-existent. He exists all by himself. Ha! Why is this important? Because when you pray to God, you have to understand, and when you worship a God, you have to understand that the God you worship needs to be self-existent. In other words, no one can be able to tear down your God. It has to become dependable. If God says, I've always been here, and I'm always going to be here, so don't worry about me. I'll always be having the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. I'm never going to change. Consistent. Reliable. That's why we talk about God is a rock of our salvation. The rock is something immovable and trusted. That's why we call this church the rock. One of the many applications of the rock in the Bible. Many, many, many. But so when we talk about God, we're talking about a God that never had a beginning and will never have an end. He will always be. No matter what happens to you, what happens to me, no matter what anyone says, does, thinks, connives, manipulates, God is the same. That is good news. Can I get an amen? Number two in your notes. Number two, the God we're talking about is omnipotent. This is a good word for you to know. Everyone say omnipotent. Okay, I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to say it with confidence. Say omnipotent. Say omni. Say omni. Say omni three times. Say it slow. Say omni. Omni means all. Omni means what?
All.
Omni means what?
All.
Potent means power. Say power.
Power.
God's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. Turn to Revelation chapter, the last book of the Bible, chapter 19. Omnipotent. Now, as you turn there, let me explain this. When the Bible says God's all powerful, it means that he can do anything he wants as long as it's consistent with what he pleases and or consistent with who he is. In other words, God can't lie. He can't lie. It's impossible. Someone once asked me, well, if God can do everything, can he build a rock that he can't lift? No, he can't. Because he lifts every rock. He can't build a rock he can't lift. God cannot deny his own character. God cannot lie to you. He can't sin against you. He can't be unfair to you. And by the way, he pleases to do none of that. But everything he pleases to do, which is always consistent with who he is, which is always right, he can do any of that. Perfect. He's omnipotent. Now, why is it important for you to understand he's omnipotent? I'll tell you why in a minute. Let's read Revelation 19, verse 6. It says, I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. He's all powerful. Why is this so critical for you to understand? Because if God is all powerful and you're praying to him to do something for you, why worry if he can do it? He can't do it. There's nothing he can't do. Lord, please, I need $300 for my rent and your clenched fist. God, please, please, can you do that for me? And God's like, I created the heavens and the earth. I flung the stars out in the sky. I made elephants, alligators. I made you. You know, if you ever go to Africa and go to a safari and you see the animals God made in their environment, the zoo breaks my heart. Glad we have them. We get to see the animals. But, you know, tigers that would just rip you to shreds are like this. And they're walking around the cage like, yeah, just let me out. Go ahead, just let me out. Give me 5 minutes. I'm 5 minutes. And they go back and forth. Back. You go to Africa or you go to the wild, you will be scared of squirrels. Squirrels will be like, yeah, get out that truck. Come on now. And they'll be all around the trees getting ready to tear you up. God said, I made all of that like that. And you want me, you can't trust me for $300? God can do anything, and he needs you to trust him as a God who does anything and not help him. For example, God, please, I trust you to get me some food, and then you go steal food. God, I need a job, then you lie on the job application. God, I need a man. And then you wear a little rubber band as a skirt. Right here. You don't need to help God. God says, I can make a man out of dirt. Matter of fact, I did make man out of dirt. That's why God's a dirtbag, because I made him out of the dirt. So we have to understand God is all powerful. The first chapter of the Bible, God said, let there be light, and there was. Let the waters and the earth separate, and there was. Let there be fish, and there was. Let there be birds, and there were. Let there be plant animals, and every animal and every living thing has a seed after its own kind, and it was. So he's all powerful. And when you worry, when we worry, we all worry, it's one form of saying, God, I don't know if you can do it. Or I don't know if you will. He's all powerful. Number three, God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. Turn to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. Omnipresent. God is everywhere. Now, when all you go home and wherever all you online are watching or in our satellite location here in San Diego, wherever you are right now, God is with you. No doubt. He is just as much with you there as he is here at the same time. Now, by the way, the devil is not omnipresent. The devil can only be in one place at one time. He has demons in places, but he himself can only be in one place at one time. You and I can only be in one place at one time. God is everywhere at the same time. Woo! That's a bad brother right there. That means if you go run over here and hide, God is right there. If you go run over here and hide, God is right there. If you go run over here and hide, God is right there at the same time. He's not following you. He's already there. Lewis says in Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea." Where can you? I was scuba diving last year. My son and I were scuba diving. We've been scuba diving like twice. So this is my second time. It was like years ago we did it. So I was like, you know, we did a little thing in the pool, and then we went down, and I'm like 30, 40 feet below the surface. And then it dawned on me I was underwater. I mean, I knew I was underwater, but I was, you know, after I was down there, I was like, yo, man, I mean, I could die. I mean, this is dangerous. And then I remember God was down there, even in the water. Stuff was swimming around. God is everywhere. Everyone say God's everywhere. So when we say God, we're talking about a God who is all-powerful. Say omnipotent. Omnipotent. Can't do anything. He can do anything. He's everywhere. Say omnipresent. Omnipresent. Say self-existent. That means no one can destroy him. No one can destroy him. You can talk about God all you want. It doesn't phase, doesn't change him. He's like, I'm still the same. Still the same. He will always be around. Number four. God is omniscient, omniscient, omniscience. He's all what? Everyone say knowing. God is all knowing, all knowing. Turn to Job. If you're in Psalm, right before Psalms is Job, Job 37. My son, when he was younger, we caught him in some scandalous stuff. It wasn't, you know, felony or misdemeanor, go to jail stuff. It was just, you know, little kid stuff. So my wife and I, we figured, we know there's more to the story. So we brought him in and said, Miles, we know what happened. What? You know, he didn't say what with attitude. He was like shaking, but he's like, what? I said, we know what happened with so-and-so. We want you to tell us the whole story. We really didn't know. Matter of fact, if you're a parent, you know we got to manipulate our kids and lie to them, and right? Can I get amen? Amen. I mean, you can't tell the truth all the time. So we led him to believe that we knew the whole story. But we didn't tell him what we knew. We wanted him to tell him. We said, look, we want to give you an opportunity to be an honest young man. So you need to tell us before we tell you. But we didn't know what he was going to tell us because we didn't know. So we were just making it up. So he's like, what? Tell us what happened. And he told us a little bit. Is that all? What else happened? Go ahead. Go ahead. We know you're a good kid, and we want to give you an opportunity. You don't want us to tell you. Because if we tell you, the consequences are going to be a whole lot worse than if you tell us. We didn't know what it was. We didn't even know if there was any more. But if there was, we were going to get it. And he was sweating, he was stuttering, he was looking around at the ceiling, what? And after we figured, we tortured him long enough, we said, okay, all right, that's good. We'll let you slide. Let's pray for you. And Lord, we just pray this boy never goes to hell for lying to his parents. We had to lead him to believe that we were omniscient, that we knew everything. Parents, how many of y'all parents did that before? Amen. How many of y'all parents are going to do that next week? Okay, there we go. You have to, your kids have to, you want your kids to have in their head that everything they do, you see. And everything they think, you hear. You want them to think that, okay? God really is that, though. Look what it says in Job chapter 37, verse 14. It says, listen to this, O Job. Job was a man who lost everything. He lost his health. He lost his family. He was being punished. He went through, not punished, he was suffering a great deal. He was not being punished because he was a righteous man. And he was asking God, why is this happening to him? And his friends were arguing with him. You must have done something wrong, blah, 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 blah. And it says here, listen, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God dispatches them and causes the light of his clouds to shine? Do you know how the clouds are balanced in the sky? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. Everyone say perfect. How many of you have thoughts in your head that no one hears but you? Except God. Can you imagine if everything you thought in your head came out as words of your mouth? We would all have no friends and be in jail. Everything you think, God hears. Everything you meditate on, God hears. Everything you prepare to think, God hears. He's perfect in knowledge. Now, in addition, he knows every cell in your body. He knows your future. He knows why you do what you do in addition to what you do. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow, next year. He knows if you have an illness that's getting ready to be revealed in a month. He knows what your heart looks like, your stomach looks like, your brain looks like. Y'all don't know what your stomach, heart, or brain look like. You don't even know if you have a brain. You've never seen it. Has anybody ever seen their brain? I didn't think so. You assume you have a brain, and we'll talk about some of those kind of that kind of logic in a couple next week or the week after. But the point is that he knows everything. So why wouldn't you take him up on his offer when he says, call to me and I will tell you great, mighty things you don't know? Matter of fact, how many of you need to know something you don't know? Some of y'all think, what does that mean? How do I need to know something? It is what it is. There's something you need to know that you don't know and you wish you knew. Anybody? Very good. Okay, it's real simple. Guess what God says? Call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things that you don't know. And we walk around life all the time. What's the purpose of my life? God will tell you. Oh, who am I going to marry? God will reveal it to you in time. Does someone love me? Should I take this job or that job? Should I hang out with this person or that person? God will guide you in all of that. His knowledge is perfect. Can I trust this person? God will tell you. He will guide you. And so his knowledge is perfect. So why wouldn't you talk to him all the time? Why talk to, excuse the phrase, knuckleheads who know nothing and all they can do is tell you their opinion. And their opinion means what? Nothing. And we rely on people. We rely on people to tell us, to affirm us, to validate us, to make us feel good. And God is saying, what about me? What about me? So God is ever present. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And number five, God is holy. Everyone say holy. Ooh, he's holy. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, all the way in the back of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. God is holy. Holy comes from the Greek word agios. It means set apart for one thing or a very specific thing. When I grew up in a Catholic church, how many of y'all been to Catholic church before? Most of y'all grew up in a Catholic church or you had some experience. And when you go to Catholic church, they have holy water. At least the church I went to, Our Lady of Lourdes in Malvern, New York, Long Island. What's up, Long Island? And I would go to Long Island, and you had the big, gigantic 50-foot, 4 feet thick doors. And you walk on the cobblestone floors, rah, rah, rah. And right in the lobby, I guess it's called the lobby of the church, you had the holy water. And you would dip your hand in holy water and do the sign of the cross. And I always wondered, why is it holy? Like, if I drank it, would I glow? Is it H2O plus something? What made it holy? I mean, does anybody y'all ever think that? I mean, I did. I thought that as a kid, right? First, second, third, through eighth grade. What happened was the reason that water was holy is because they set it aside for one or a very specific purpose. Matter of fact, what I was told was that the same water they baptized the babies in. That's what they don't drink that water. They don't bathe in that water. They baptize babies. They put it out there for people to, you know, bless themselves, whatever it is. That's what it's for. It's set aside. Now, they pray for it, and they probably do some other stuff to it, but it's still H2O. You and I are supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be set aside for God. When my wife and I had our first child, when my wife had our first child, I was there. When you have your first baby, it's like the first time your heart lives outside your body and you experience a love that you haven't experienced when you have kids. It's at least when they're little. We love them when they're old, but it's just different. You know, it's just different. It's kind of like you need to pay for love now, you know. Yeah. But when they're little, it's like, you know, they just love them and they haven't done anything. And you want them to protect them from the world, right? God is holy in this sense, that God has set himself aside as righteous, perfect, and pure, and he is the standard of righteousness, purity, and perfection. He is it. You can't get any more perfect than him, and you can't soil his perfection. In other words, you can't stain God. He's holy, set aside as the only one true, holy, perfect thing there is. God purifies. He can't be purified. God makes righteous. He cannot be made unrighteous. He's perfect. Matter of fact, when Jesus walked the earth, there were people with leprosy. And when you had leprosy, you had to stay 6 feet away from people. And if the wind was blowing, 30 feet away, because the leprous cooties can fly off you and get on them. But Jesus, being holy, he would actually go up and touch a leper. And they would say, well, how could you touch a leper? The leper is going to make you unclean. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm making the leper clean. I'm holy. Nothing can stain me. God is holy. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1:16. 1 Peter 1:16 says, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is holy. Let's review. God is self-existent. Say self-existent. God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's holy. And the last one, by the way, God has 1,000 attributes, but the last one we're going to talk about today is God is love. Say love. Say love. Say God wants to love me. Turn to John 3:16. As you go to John 3:16, I'm going to read 1 John 4:8, which says, God is love. Everyone say, God is love. Here's the most amazing thing about God, is that God is self-existent, he's all-powerful, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's holy, and all that, and we can keep going on and on, and he's untouchable. He's all those things completely independent of us. We don't make God holy, we don't make God perfect. He is those things whether we like it or not. The greatest thing about all of this, at least for us, is that he's a God of love. In other words, God looks at all of us and says, not only do I love you, I want to have a relationship with you. But the problem is, you guys are sinners and you guys aren't holy like me. You're not worthy of a relationship with me. And because you're sinners, I have to punish your sin by killing you, because the penalty of sin is death. But here's the deal. Because I love you, I'm going to send my son Jesus. He's going to live 33 years. He's going to die and pay the price for your sin. And if you accept his death in your place, I will give you my righteousness. When I look at you, I will see my son. Those who ask Christ to forgive them of their sin, Those who ask Christ to forgive them of their sin. Those who ask Christ to forgive them of their sin and receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God to live inside, when God looks at you, he sees his son's righteousness. Not your righteousness, not mine. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. Look what it says in John 3:16. Let's read it. It says, "For God so loved the world," love, everyone say love, "that he gave his only begotten son," say gave, "that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." God says, not only am I love, I want to express love. I want to share love. I want to model love. So here's the million-dollar question. Do you want to receive that love? It's one thing to know about God and say, hey, God is self-existent. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's holy. It's one thing to say that stuff and one thing to know it in your head. It's another thing to experience it. And the only way you can experience it is by faith and receive his forgiveness. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to receive all you have for me. I want to surrender my life to an all-powerful God. I want to surrender my life to an all-knowing God. I know he knows all my sin. I can't run. I can't hide. I can't manipulate him. I can't lie to him. He knows everything. He can do everything. I want to have a relationship with that God, a relationship of love. Based on love. And he proved his love for me that he sent his son to die for me. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life into your hands. And I want to have a relationship with an almighty, all-powerful, self-existent, independent God. A God that I know one day I'm going to have to face. So let's all bow our heads and pray. If you're watching online, watching on television, if you're in our North County site, just bow your heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you do love us. And we thank you that you know us. And we thank you that you have a great plan for our life. And as awesome as you are, we are blessed that you would care about us. If right now as you're listening, no matter where you are, you would like to establish a relationship with the God of the Bible that I described, if you would like him to forgive you of your sin, and you would like to receive his love, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must by faith believe that he loves you. So in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that you exist. I believe you have a plan for my life. And I believe you love me. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior. My God and my Lord. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're in our satellite location, we're going to ask you as well to stand up. Someone will be there to pray with you. If you're online, there's a pastor who wants to chat with you. Please check the box and let us know that you prayed. But right now, if you pray that prayer, you're saying, Lord, I want to acknowledge you for who you are, and I want to surrender my life to you. I want to surrender my burden to you, my pain to you. Right now, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your prayer, acknowledge your act of surrender, acknowledge your expression of faith. Just stand to your feet right now if you pray that prayer. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you in the balcony. We see you all over the room. Anybody else stand to your feet?